Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, my name is Grayson Givens, and I run like Dreamonics Publishing House, and I've been doing my publishing company for about since I was 90 years old. I created the concept of it when I was at Kittredge College Preparatory in Oakland, California, and the company itself is basically a multi-layer publishing company, and it tackles the essence and the ideology of art, and it also deals with the essence of humanities. And when we discuss the ideologies of art and humanities, I take a look at it from a holistic standpoint. Standpoint that I use, it's a model that my teacher gave me as a child, and the model is simple. It's as if you are listening to music to create a motion picture movie and to allow oneself to be captivated by the words, the syntax, and the language of everything. And when we speak on everything, we are talking about the essence of letters and how they move. We're talking about the essence of words and how they move. And we are discussing a little bit more further on once we understand the context of those sounds and how those letters sound sonically to the ears, it allows one to really just be able to grow. And it allows one to just be able to sit back and be like, okay, so then I want to take a even greater approach. And as Miss Unique was saying earlier about getting customers, it's like when I'm out here getting customers for my publishing company, I use really two things, and that's customer service, and I try to create a relationship with my clients. So I don't necessarily ask for the transaction up front, but I would rather see where my customers are coming from. So then to see how I can further assist them and see how my publishing company can be of usage for them. And that is what my publishing company is. So it has just a 6 to 7 tiers. And the tiers range from the music, which is DreamX, the production company, which is called Dreams Are Reality Production Company, Dreamonics, the publishing house, the think tank, bookmark tutoring, and we have a law office as well. And all of that combined, it gives us the essence of creating and being able to have everything under one roof. My idea is that I don't believe in paying certain people for certain tasks if I can get the knowledge and I can understand it. Once I understand the knowledge of everyone that's like of the task that I'm asking of that person, and once I understand that knowledge, then that gives me a little bit more control over what is to be told and what is to be expected, because now I know what I'm looking for, and a person cannot just fool me because of that. And so with Dreamonics, it has grown since forever, and forever in essence being that when I started the company, I was really 9, and the concept of it was there, but the actual work of she saying I would like to create a publishing company started out when I was 16, and it started really because I wanted to be able to control my work, and I didn't want to have anybody tell me what I couldn't and could not do. And that is what really made me want to go into that. and being able to control, or not even control, but being able to have the ability to do something different with arts and humanities, because people have pushed over time and time and time again. We hear people talking about STEM, science, engineering, technology, and math, but everybody forgets about the literature and the humanities. And what literature and humanities and the arts give individuals are the essence of free thinking. So the essence of free thinking is one of the many core values of Dreamonics, and it is something that we really believe in, because it is important to be able to think for oneself. It is important not to be told by the world or by everybody else around you on how not to be, or who you can be, or what you cannot or can be, or who you are or who you're not. So I am more along the lines of saying and thinking about how can I create a company and a place where I can just be myself, and I'm not having to go check somebody, or somebody's telling me that I cannot write dot-a-dot-a-dot because of the content, or they're controlling, or they're trying to silence my voice. I always believed in being in control of my own voice and not letting somebody else tell me what to say or what not to say. Freedom of speech is very, very vital because it is how one speaks. It is how one actually gets around itself. It's about how one actually really, really digs into self and pulls out of self. And once we understand the essence of self, then we take it a little bit more higher. And we take it to a higher realm where it's like, okay, so now that I know who self is, then I have to humble self in order for the most high or a higher energy. For me, it's the most high, but for him to come into my life and to steer it and to really control it, because I look at it like this: I'm not in control of my own life. I do not have the right to even say that I control my life. I do not have the obligation to even utter the words, I made it by myself, because in actuality, I have seen the hands of the Most High work in times and situations where it was almost like I couldn't quite figure out what was really going on. And I could, but it was like I was too naive to really get myself out of that situation. And from that point on, I started to really just grow. And what happened was, at the age of 16, I always told myself at 9 that I was going to be published at the age of 16. And at the age of 16, I was published. And how I was published was through a poetry website where I used to write poetry all the time. And the website actually archived all of my work after years. And with them archiving my work after years, it gave me the essence of my first book. And that was one of the first books, I say. The first book that I actually did write, it was actually more along the lines of just taking anything that I had on my computer, and I was trying to structure the ideology of a book, and I was trying to understand the movement of how to create a book. So it's a laughing joke that I have with myself where it's like I don't really talk about that book, but that book is called The Anthology of Terrell the Poet. And it was something that I just wanted to create and wanted to understand and I wanted to see. So with that being said, it just gave me the opportunity to play around with it. And when I was able to play around with it, I was then able to then create my first real book, and that's called The Young Poet, which is basically the archive, the work that was already archived, but I turned it into I began a journey, and I studied English for so long that I said, okay, well, I understand all forms of poetry, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something totally different that they've never seen. I am going to create a collection that reads like a novella or a short novel. And with that being said, I created that with music, And what the music did, it helped to add the scenes to the movie. Because I always believe in writing to convey movies or creating a image. And creating a image is dissecting the language, dissecting the sounds of the language, dissecting the inner folds of the spaces in between the letters, and to understand what do they really mean? What do all those suffixes mean? What do all of the prefixes mean? What does the root word really mean? What does all of that really, really entail? So once I understood that and once I got that, I set upon a journey with creating a multiverse or a saga in which it tells the story of a young boy going into manhood. And it is the journey of self into manhood. And with that being said, we begin off at a pivotal point of understanding that the poet or self is understanding that he has a gift. And with that gift comes responsibilities and the famous words of Peter Parker and Uncle Ben. With great power comes great responsibility. But because I did not understand that, I went down a road that would later come back and bite me in the rear end. And what I learned was that words hold so much power. Words carry life. The word in the Bible is not meant to be uttered, but it's meant to be understood. It's not meant to be spoken, but it's meant to be understood and digested. And what I base my company and my writing style off of is the understanding of true movement. I want to be able to create an experience for the audience so that the audience then can come in and be like, wow, I've never experienced this. And with that, just to give like a quick sample of how that really looks, it's almost as if this, something that's just on the top of my head, it's almost as if I said, skip, skip, skip to my loo, my darling, but if my tears dance on the sins of man, how can I ever come to myself and repent if all my life I've been a walking, talking death sentence? Hold up. Let me just breathe and let me just relax. Let me hold on and let me see what the most I have in store. Let me watch these words. As I watch these words, I dance on glass, trying to be careful on what I say and what I do. So it's like when we take that composition and when we look at it and its written form, we begin to see the visual aspects. We begin to see and hear the auditorial language. We begin to sense the vibrations that the words give off. We begin to slowly enter into a place where the words are no longer words, but it is literally a movie coming alive before your eyes. And the young poet, if I had to describe it as a movie, it is literally like a coming, it's a coming of age story meets trials and tribulations. And trials and tribulations in the essence of I always knew at the age of 9 that I was going to go to college and that I was going to become a writer and I was going to do English. I knew that off top. And because as a child, I stuttered. And the comfort that I found was in reading and writing. So I already had that plan in my head. And I already knew how I was going to execute that plan. So once I really dove into these books, into like some books that I read ranged from Langston Hughes, his whole poetry collection. Matter of fact, all of his work that was ever collected, I read that. I read William Shakespeare, the unabridged version, to the point where I understood and I could read that old English without getting confused or not understanding what I'm reading. I read Gene Toomer, The Crane, in the essence to see how the essence of the Southern life is depicted through his language. And Gene Toomer is a great example of how we create images and moving pictures. My goal at the end of the day with this publishing company is to allow the voiceless and the voices that have been ashamed or that have not had the courage to come out and speak, to come out and speak, and to create and to give them a space that will allow them to come and speak and share their truth. My publishing company deals with the essence of truth. Whatever your truth is, we speak facts. Everybody has opinions. We do agree with that. But if I come to you with facts, then you don't have to have saying that strong. But what I'm saying is that you have to recognize truth, and you have to recognize facts. And we have to be able to tell the difference between facts and non-details. And in non-details, we get it confused because everybody wants their opinion to be facts. But in actuality, that cannot be true because everybody has an opinion. And if everybody's opinion was facts, then we would get nowhere. And when we talk about truth, we are talking about the uncanny truth. We are talking about the truth that when you hear it, it almost makes you like, whoa, like it sounds like you're offending people, but you're actually speaking what is necessary. And people call it conspiracy theories and conspiracy this, conspiracy that. No, it is one that does plenty of research and digs and digs and digs and digs to find whom or what is in charge of what's going on, or why is something going on, or what is going on, and how does it affect everything that's around us. It's almost as if we take a look at the spiritual realm, or we take a look at what we know now as the real and the reality world, or the matriarchal paradox. We look into that and we believe that that is reality. When in actuality, when we know about our brains and our thoughts, we perceive our world around us. So if one is negative, then their perception of the world is negative. If one is happy-go-lucky, then their perspective of that, of their life is that. So what I practice is understanding meditation as well, and breathing, and inhaling and exhaling, so that when you do begin to write, you begin to write not from the head, but from the spirit. You don't write from the heart. We remove the head and the heart out of the equation, but we allow the spirit to speak. We allow that inner soul to speak. And a perfect example of that is in Miss Unique's book by Pookie. When we understand that at times we are literally, in Miss Unique's words, we are our own Pookie. And I'll bring it back up to a more modern day terms. When we are our own worst enemies, we see how destructive that is. We can no longer put our negativity or our destructive ways on other people and say, oh, yeah, such and such made me do that. That's not necessarily true. You did that out of self, and you did that within yourself. And it's important to understand, who are you fighting and why are you fighting them? It's important to understand the essence of looking beyond the matriarchal paradox and understanding, okay, so what else is behind the lens? If we know that we live in a habitual lying state of being misled and being confused, being bamboozled, being led astray, being allowed to let planet rock land on us, in the words of Malcolm X, paraphrasing, we begin to see, okay, wait a minute, what is really going on? And why is it going on? And what? Who, what, when, where, and why? We begin to dive consciously and subconsciously into that. And then we begin to really work from inside out, so that you can know who self is. Dreamonics, in essence, really stands for understanding how dreams work into reality, how dreams are manifested into reality, And it is something that I've always wanted to do. And it's something that I always wanted to be a part of. And that's why I really created Dream Onyx Publishing House. And that's why I really created that. And it was, it started out as me just saying to myself, let's just do something where we can control our own masters. We can control our own books. We can control everything. Because another reason why I wanted to do this was because of the fact that I wanted to be able, I didn't want to end up like Prince. I didn't want to end up like Michael Jackson. I didn't want to end up like Marvin Gaye. I didn't want to end up like our singers before. I didn't want to end up like that. I didn't want to be in a position where somebody takes control of my creativity and they own the rights to my creativity. Instead, I would like to be the one controlling my creativity and being able to help others unlock their potential of their creativity. And so one section of my company, I work directly with that, which is the music, which is the artist development, and where we sit down with artists and we actually develop them from the inside out. We listen to their voice. We listen to their cadence. We listen to all of that to create a base. And to be like, okay, so then what type of artist do you want to be? What I don't do is I don't throw expectations on my artist to be like, okay, this is what I see you as, and that's what you were going to sell you as. I don't see them as that. But instead, I and so, like, the essence of that is the essence of just understanding self and just letting self be allowed to function. And that's what Dream Onyx really stands for, letting the voiceless and the hopelessness and the people that have been forgotten a space for them to learn and grow and to be able to be nurtured. And letting our children come into a place where they can learn the fundamentals of reading and writing. And letting them be exposed to a different world outside of their own. But,
are you taking callers?
But you can go ahead and follow me at Terrell the Poet on Instagram. You can go ahead and check out my latest book, The Sunrise King, on Amazon. Underneath, you can look up The Sunrise King for my name, Grayson Terrell Givens, spelled G-R-A-Y-S-O-N. And my middle name, Terrell, T-E-R-R-E-L-L, Givens, G-I-V-E-N-S. And if you would like a copy of the book, I can go ahead and I'll send that out to anybody that's interested. And that's going to be just email me at graysongivens@gmail.com. And I will go ahead and I'll send that out. My last thing that I want to say before I go is I did recently just drop a brand new book called The Sunrise King. And that deals with the essence of not having everything and not knowing where to really go. But fighting and fighting to become the man that you're supposed to be or the woman that you are supposed to be. And it deals with the essence of depression, love, and when you don't have anything, the tagline for the Sunrise King, it is the beauty and the understanding of love, joy, and happiness. And what happens when all of that goes away and what happens when you lose yourself. And that is what I really based that book off of. And that is my 13th book. I have wrote 13 books all before my 30th birthday. And I'm gracious for that. But I just want to thank Miss Unique for the opportunity. And I just want to say thank you to you guys for listening to me. Thank you.